Bass fishing is one of those things that, without question, you can get on a streak. With me today is Ray Scheid. And Ray, I guess first thing, two top tens in a row, man. You're on a roll here.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really fishing well, making good decisions here lately.
Well, let's talk about when you make bad decisions and now the good decisions. And what are some of the things that go through your mind when you were making the bad decisions, and now how are they turning into good ones?
It goes back to just fishing is a game of making small. You know, when I talk about making decisions, I'm not talking about mapping out a whole game plan for the entire day. It's just when you go to a spot and kind of feel that things ain't going to be right, it's, you know, you can say, hey, you know, let's go to the bank. You know, the water's high today. It's a little bit cloudy. The fish might be a little bit shallower. And it's being able to make that decision a little bit quicker rather than sitting there and trying to make the fish bite. So it's just almost staying in a practice mode where you don't get locked in and going back and fishing memories.
Well, you know, and I think that's important to note. I think the differentiator between maybe the grassroots guys and the really, really good pro is the fact that adaptation that you make on the water. You see something that's changed, you feel something, maybe current moving, some of those kind of things. And when you can adjust to those on the water while you're out there, sometimes those can pay big dividends.
Absolutely. You know, that's how I made the cut in the last one. I actually caught 21 and a half pounds off a spot I'd never even practiced. The tide was extra high. I'm fishing grass mats that aren't topped out. That's kind of the pattern, the type of things I've been looking for all week. And logically, back home on a regular lake, if it's flooded, cloudy, your fish are going to go to the bank. So I hadn't fished banks the entire time I was there in practice. So I stayed in the same bay, just went to the bank and started fishing, you know, found some grass mats that were tucked up in some reeds and lily pads, and boy, the fish were in them.
Well, let's talk about bait selection. You know, you talk about moving around and adjusting. You probably started with one bait and maybe changed to another as you went shallow. Talk to me about that, if you would.
You know, I actually use the same bait. I've used two techniques in practice. They're my two favorite ways to fish. That's why, you know, when we go to a place like the Potomac, it reminds me a lot of my home lake, Gardnell. It's easier for a person to make those adjustments when you spend a lot of time on water that's similar to it. So when I went to the bank and when the mats were topped out in the middle of the bays at low tide, I was catching them on a frog and on top. And if it was extra sunny and slick, I'd flip an ounce or ounce half weight into heavy mats. I used the same techniques when I went to the bank and found that the fish were relating to the same types of structure. So I was able to just really use the same techniques and catch them and just move with the fish.
All right. Now, what frog and what bait were you using on that heavy weight?
Well, I was using a Spro frog and white, and I mean, they just annihilated it on day two of that tournament. It was a blast.
Oh, that's what's fun, man. When they blow up on a frog, there's nothing better.
That is. It's my favorite way to fish. And I'll tell you what, you know, Dean Rojas kind of pioneered the way to fish that thing over the last few years. And I mean, a lot of people, you know, maybe he's had a lot of success because that is the ultimate bite right there.
Well, you know, the frog bite, and we're going to go back to this other bait too, but the frog bite is one of those things when you get on it, when it really happens, it's usually about 30 days. Bobby Barrick told me about 30 days after the spawns when it really gets good.
Yep.
So you guys were hitting it about right. When they get on it, they really eat it. And that little frog, I mean, if you're using, you know, Kermie, which is a big frog, or the junior, either one, that you can walk it. You can walk the dog. And I'm sure maybe that's probably some of the things that you were doing.
Yeah, I can walk it and twitch it. And you kind of, if you throw it as much as I do, and or have been, you know, you just kind of get in tune with it and you make it almost act like a real frog. It's almost like if you know, other baits that I think mesmerize fish and they just can't resist it, like waking a redfin or something. Sometimes that's the only thing on the lake that really can catch the large fish, you know, or, you know, it just mesmerizes a fish and they can't help themselves, you know.
Those are good situations to be in, you know, when you live in the central part of the country. You know, we don't have those days. So, you know, it's nice to hear somebody does. Well, you know, let's go back to that other bait now. What was the other bait you were throwing?
Well, I was throwing a Mismo Swamp Monster. And I think, actually, Lefebvre won a Strand Series event out there last year on that same bait. But it's a flipping bait. It has the kind of a profile. It looks like a Reaction Innovations Beaver, you know. It's got the paddle tails on it. But what I like about it is on the side, it's got arms that you can stick two giant rattles in. So when you're flipping, you can flip into a mat. Say, for instance, it might be 10 foot in diameter, and just kind of work it up and down and shake it underneath the mat and drop it. And you can really draw, I feel like you can draw fish in from several feet away that can hear that disturbance, you know, rather than just yo-yoing a bait and a mat and he's got to see it. You know, it really calls them out, I think. So you can kind of fish just a little more efficiently. You can draw that fish in and convince him.
As you look at your career now, I mean, Ray, you've had a lot of success. You've won events, and you know you've always made the championship pretty much, and have had some great career events. Now you're starting to get on this roll. Is that really good for you? I mean, you've got a couple events left. Of course, the FLW Championship. You can win $1 million at this thing. How much would that change your life?
Oh, it's just incomprehensible. It's going to be such an historic event. It's never been done before. And I wanted to be a part of it. You know, a couple tournaments ago, I was sitting in, 70th place in the point, and it just hit me. I don't want to be a VIP guest there. I want to be participating in that historic event. Just to be there and be a part of it and see that the sport is going the direction that it's going is so exciting. It's kind of like NASCAR in an aspect of corporate backing makes that sport. You know, if you didn't have corporate backing for NASCAR, it'd just be a bunch of guys driving around in circles with, you know, maybe 100 people watching them. You get that corporate backing involved in a sport, it's becoming an amazing way to make a living, and it gets better every year.
Well, you know, you hear all the good, favorable things about the non-endemic sponsors that Irwin has brought in and FLW Outdoors has brought in. I also hear a lot, you know, as doing these radio interviews, of just how well you're treated on the FLW trail. You know, it's like a family. People look out for each other. It's those kind of things that make that trail fun to fish.
It is. You know, I spend 5 months on the road a year with those people, and it is. It's just like family. They shake your hand. They give you a hug. They see how you're doing. They congratulate you when you do a good job. And from, everybody at FLW Outdoors and Ranger and fishing for Team BP this year, those folks from top to bottom, everybody I've met has just such great people. I'm just so proud to represent them. I got hooked up with BP, and it's just been a real blessing for me to even get to know those people and be able to represent them.
Well, with the price of gas, that's got to help too, you know. All kidding aside, you know, if you're going to pick a sponsor right now, a Cracker sponsor would probably be good, but yep. I'm going to tell you what, a BP sponsor is really good right now.
You can have a great paying job and not like to go to work. Because, you may not like the people you work with, but that's not the case. These people are just so engaged, and they're committed to making grow the sport, and I can see their passion about wanting to be involved, about making a difference. Man, it's just great to be involved with a sponsor that's engaged like that, and they love this sport, and they're wanting to see it grow. And, man, just to think that I could be a part of this sport for the rest of my life and see the changes. Just, you know, Terry, in 2004 when I won Okeechobee, like 10th place was only $7,500. And look how far we've come. You know, they're paying $10,000 down to 60th place in some of these tournaments. And, I mean, that's just an incredible leap for just a few years fishing.
Well, no doubt about it. And I hear that over and over again. I don't think, you know, you're the only one that said that to me by any stretch, because the guys that are fishing FLW really have an affinity with it. You know, and I'm sure the bass people do as well. I hear it from them. They like the Elite Series. But it's very, very neat when you know that you go out there and you feel like you're part of something that is growing. And I'm sure that you feel that way, and as you've mentioned very, very well here with FLW.
Yeah. I have some great friends that fish bass, and you know, everybody that I know wishes both leagues success, because we all want to make a living at this sport. And, you know, that FLW is making it possible for more anglers to go out and make a living at it by paying so much money down the line. And it's not at all about getting rich. It's all about making a living at something you love to do. And I know I never take it for granted. I know I'm blessed. If I have a bad tournament or a bad day, all I got to do is, you know, show up the ramp the next morning when I hear that national anthem, and I think about, you know, all the people that are in the armed forces that are, you know, making the ultimate sacrifice to even allow me to have the opportunity to do this, that just sets the tone for me in a tournament, and just I know how blessed I am, and I'll never take that for granted.
Well, Ray, I appreciate you being with us at Bass Fan. Keep the streak going, will you?
All right, I'll try.
Thanks for being with me at Bass Fan Radio.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.